Hello and welcome to Inside the Huddle in association with SkySports.com and NFL UK. We are sponsored by Sport Lobster, the sports social network, and we're coming to you again from Phoenix, Arizona, site of Super Bowl 49. You will hear some background music today because myself and Jeff are not on Radio Row, but we're sitting, well, just a Tom Brady touchdown pass away from the swimming pool at our hotel, Jeff. This is how the other half live, but we wanted to start off the podcast with a thank you to everyone who's downloaded, because it's incredible to see the response we've had. We've had people saying they're going to listen on the way from Geneva to the game here in Arizona, people talking about downloading it while they're walking their dog, listening to it while they're going for their morning run. It's been an incredible response.
Yeah, and you know, it's a lot of fun for us. And I got to read this one to you. I haven't even told you about this one, but James Lander tweeted this to me. He goes, "You know you've watched too much Doug Plank film when you start looking for potential hits while you're out walking. I blame Jeff Reinbold and Neil Reynolds."
They want to blame Doug Plank, if anyone. So this is our final one before Super Bowl 49. They keep saying on the TV it's almost time for the talking to stop, but not for the next 30 minutes or so. So we can give our thoughts on the big game between the Seattle Seahawks and the New England Patriots. We're going to go through all the sort of sections of this game, Jeff. Coaching, quarterbacks, running backs. So let's start with the two coaches. And we'll try and see if we can give an edge to each team as we go along. So coaching, this is a tough one to pick, because you know that both these coaches have been hugely successful. They can be innovative. They can be aggressive. Do we give anyone an edge in this?
Well, I think this was a toss-up. It really is. And, you know, yesterday when we watched the last press conference of the coaches, and it really became evident how different their styles are, but how comfortable each is in his own skin. And, you know, Belichick, who was fired in Cleveland, has learned his way and, you know, will go down historically as one of the greatest coaches of all time. And Pete has a chance to win back-to-back Super Bowls, which puts him in rarefied air. And, you know, again, fired twice and has learned, as he said, to find his voice. And so I think it's going to be a great coaching job on both sides of the equation, done in their own styles. And I think both teams are going to be extremely ready to play. So I think that's a toss.
Tremendous respect they have for each other. And it's funny, because sometimes you look at Pete Carroll, and as you know, they say, the defense is very simple at times, and they just rush four, and it's very, you know, he puts the players in simple positions and lets them get the best out of great players. Belichick can be the other. He can be ineligible. You know, 1 minute Shane Vereen's ineligible, and then Nate Solder's eligible, and there's substitutions at the last second. He will try every little bit of deception. Well, there's differences there.
Yeah, so really, like you say, they're so different in the style and really in the substance of what they coach. But the one thing that is, you know, similar about both of them is they're both competitive, ultra competitive. Chad O'Shea told me, I said, you work for Coach Vermeil and you've worked for Bill Belichick. What defines those guys? And he said, same thing. He said, incredible work ethic. And then you hear Pete, you know, the guys in Seattle say the same thing about Pete, just incredible work ethic. And I think that's, you know, they do it their own way, and two different styles of coaching, and it'll be interesting to see them on the big stage.
We will try and give edges as we go along, but it's tough, this, Jeff, actually. Yeah. Just looking and thinking about this as we go along. I mean, this is why this is such an intriguing game, and you know, I've seen it written and described as a game for the ages. It really could be that. Let's move on to the quarterbacks. Tom Brady is playing in a record 6th Super Bowl, going for win number 4, which would tie in with Terry Bradshaw and Joe Montana. Russell Wilson looking to become just the youngest player at 26 years old to win 2 Super Bowls. There's some contrast in styles as well, Jeff, here.
Yeah, again, both guys don't really fit the parameters. You know, you look at it and you say, Brady, 6th-round draft choice out of Michigan, not a strong enough arm, you know, didn't have great feet. A lot of reasons why you downgraded him as a player coming out of college. It's just he's had tremendous success. Russell, the same thing, 5'11", you know, not a big arm. All the stuff that they say, but the reality of it is, these are two of the winningest quarterbacks in the National Football League right now. But I'm going to give a nod to Brady. I think, because if it gets down to a game that the New England Patriots have to throw it 55 times to win it, I think he can do that for you. I don't know if Russell Wilson can do that.
Yeah, and ultimately that's what you want in your quarterback, is that ability. If the game goes to where you're referring to Plan B or Plan C, you need to be able to do that. You need to be able to line up and throw it. And Russell Wilson does a lot of stuff off of, I guess both of these coaches, both of these quarterbacks use a lot of the foundation of the running game though as well, don't they, as we segue into running backs?
Yeah, yeah, we really do. And, you know, it's interesting that it's the zone read and getting Russell Wilson out on the perimeter with the football for Seattle, and it's the true drop back off of the zone play.
A lot of play action
for New England.
Yeah,
yeah. So both of the passing games obviously are much, much better and more dangerous when they have established a running game.
Let's look at the running backs then. Marshawn Lynch, LeGarrette Blount. Are we going to throw in a little bit of Shane Vereen out of the backfield if we're going to look at these running backs? I mean, these are two. If we start with Blount and Lynch, of course, is garnering so much attention today. But Blount gets compared to Marshawn Lynch as well in terms of style. I mean, like you said, there's going to be an intent to get both these guys heavily involved, isn't there?
I think so. And I think that it would be certainly big for New England if Blount can have a day and he can get 75. Yeah, he doesn't have to have a 100-yard day, but if he can get 75 or 80 yards of, you know, run yardage for them, that'll certainly help them. I'm going to give the nod here to Marshawn Lynch because I just think he's so much the engine of that Seattle offense, and I think all of the madness around him this week will, you know, serve as emotional fuel for him. And when he goes, he is special. So I'm going to give the nod to Marshawn Lynch.
I put my son, George, 13 years old. He's completely addicted to the NFL now. I put him to work this week. He wanted to do some work on the Super Bowl and talk about the Super Bowl. I got him to dig around for really good quotes that might be up. And he said he found this one from Marshawn Lynch. I think Marshawn Lynch said, "You don't feel beast mode, it feels you." Which kind of makes it like it's this sort of spiritual thing that takes over his body.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He is beautiful. So I don't know. I don't. How do you feel?
I think. I'll tell you what. I think when you look at, you know, there are comparisons between those two running backs and the way they run, but you don't get that same emotional spark from LeGarrette Blount that you get from Marshawn Lynch. So, you know, I would be with you. I would give the edge to Marshawn Lynch. And Jeff, we're now sitting in the rain.
I know it. We came to the desert
to
get rained on.
Taxi driver yesterday said to me, "It never rains here." I don't know what's gone on this week, but here we are, third day in a row with the rain coming down. It's a true London welcome for us. So we're giving the edge then to the running backs. Let's move on to wide receivers and tight ends. So we're going to throw these all receivers into the mix together here.
Well, I think when you look at them that way, when you look at them as a core, then I'm going to say that I give a slight edge to New England. Now, what's been really interesting around here this week is as you talk to NFL players, there's a real sense amongst the NFL players that the Seattle receivers are really undervalued.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, and that's from the guys that have to cover them, talking about them. But I just think when you factor in Gronkowski, Edelman, Ho-Ho-Manu-Nui, you know, Amendola,
Brandon LaFell.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think that they've just got more depth, more ways they can get after you. I think, and I thought your comment yesterday, I thought about it actually all evening and this earlier today, is Luke Wilson. He may be that X-factor guy in this game.
Chris Harris of the Denver Broncos, I was watching him on the NFL Network this morning. He was talking about how the, you know, obviously so much is being made of Rob Gronkowski and that battle between Gronkowski against whether it's Cam Chancellor, whether it's Earl Thomas, it may be KJ Wright, it could be Bobby Wagner. A lot's been made of that. But Chris Harris, who's one of the made such a great impression with Denver in the slot and working that middle of the field as the third cornerback, he said that he thinks that Julian Edelman could be the one to give the most problems to those big defensive backs. Tell us about small receivers going against big defensive backs.
The thing that Edelman can do that makes him really dangerous is he doesn't have great long speed. Mm-hmm. You would rate his long speed as average.
Yep.
But what he does is what we call has great short burst quickness. So he can get in and out of breaks. He's hard to get hands on. He's really good in small spaces, you know, because he has such great change of direction ability, and that'll be tough for Seattle. I really think that when he's in the game, that you won't see Maxwell on him or you won't see Sherman on him, but I think that's an assignment that they're going to pass to Greg Lane, and that'll be an interesting matchup.
Tell us about players, you know, in your experience of coaching more than 30 years, the difference between practice and then going into a game. So I'm looking at Earl Thomas has practiced fine all week, but he's dislocated his shoulder and he's coming back from that. Richard Sherman has practiced fine all week, but he's coming back from a hyperextended elbow. Now you add in Cam Chancellor, second to last player of practice on Friday, goes down with a knee injury. They said he didn't limp off the field, but he did have his knee wrapped up. So although they've been able to practice okay for the last 2 weeks, they've still got to go out there and tackle, haven't they? They've still got to go out there and take on blocks. Tell us about the difference.
Well, the difference in practice is that you don't do, you're not physical. You can't do that to one another.
So we don't really know how they feel.
Yeah, so that those, and particularly those shoulder injuries, you know, those are very difficult and very painful. Now, I'm sure that, you know, that the doctors are going to treat him all the way up to game time and probably treat him again at halftime. Mm. But, you know, it's going to be a question for a lot of guys on that field tomorrow of playing through pain and recognizing that the fact that, in some cases there are going to be guys that are going to have surgeries after the season to clean up some things. But, you know, you're down to 60 minutes of football and it's for the world championship, and you're going to have to be severely injured to come out of this game.
And generally both these teams are healthy. When you look at, NFL standards, by this late stage of the year, you have some guys that are questionable. I mean, but everyone who is on the injury report is at worst probable.
Well, yeah, and everybody hurts right now. I mean, everybody in that roster, all 53 of those guys on that roster are all in some sort of pain. It's just the nature of the game. Mm. I thought it was interesting, Pete kind of, and he's always positive, but one of the things in his press conference was he said, we're all healthy, we're ready to go.
Yeah.
That was before Cam got hurt, but I'm sure that these guys are going to recognize the gravity of the situation, and they're going to come out and play their hearts out, and whatever it is that they have, they're going to leave on the field.
We might be playing hurt at this rate. We sit out in this rain much longer. We'll be playing with a flu tomorrow. Let's move on to the offensive lines then, and obviously you have a very vested interest in this one. I think I know which way we're going to go here.
I got a double interest in this one because two of the better players in this game
going to be in the trenches.
Actually, I got three guys in that. Max Unger, who comes from the Big Island of Hawaii,
yep.
Kona, is a kid that I remember we recruited out of high school. I remember working with him in high school camps, and he's probably the best center. Or one of the best centers in the game, certainly.
Didn't
right
give
now.
He gave up a sack all year when he was playing.
That's amazing.
And they missed him, didn't they, when he was
those
out?
Those 6 games when he was out with that foot, they really missed him. And, then you got Sebastian Vollmer on the other side who's going to be blocking Michael Bennett. So, yeah. I mean, it's I'm going to be like a nervous father up there. But I got to just, when you look at him, I really think that New England, because of the two tackles,
yep.
And the fact that it looks like they're going to get Stork back, that gives them the nod. And I think they're playing much better football right now than Seattle was. It was striking when I watched the tape of the Seattle-Green Bay game of, Green Bay in the trenches really most of the game dominated Seattle's offensive line. To the fact that they were just throwing guys away and rushing the passer. So I think it's going to be really interesting. Is Seattle going to be physical enough inside with Will Fork and Salinga and those guys? I'm going to give the nod to the Patriots.
I would agree with you on that one. I think we see a lot of Russell Wilson designed bootlegs to get away from pressure, but there's too many times I can picture. We've watched a lot of Seattle games this year where he runs for his life as well.
Yeah.
So I agree. I think Vollmer's been one of the best right tackles in the league this year. I think getting Stork back's huge because Ryan Wendell is a really good run blocker. So I can't get that image of Russell Wilson being under a lot of pressure out of my head. Now, there's been times where Brady's been under pressure, but not to the same degree in my mind. So I would give that. What about, we'll move on to front sevens, Jeff. What do you think?
Well, front seven is really interesting because they're two, completely different, types of front sevens. The Patriots are primarily a 3-4 team. And like I said, they've got great big guys in there. Salinga's a 340-pound guy that's 6 feet tall. And Wilfork has not seen 350 for probably 6 or 7 years.
He hasn't seen his feet for about 12
since
years.
Since he was in 8th grade, he looks like he ate a small child. I mean, but, you know, they do what
you need. They're called a spicy
teacher. Yeah, they do what Belichick needs done by their inside people.
Yeah.
They're not great pass rushers, but they like you say, they chew up space inside. They just command double teams. It allows the linebackers to run. I think it's going to really be interesting to see if they can stop the run and get Seattle into 2nd and 8, 2nd and you know, 3rd and 8s. You know, whether we won't see massive substitutions on the Patriots up front, and you know, get Ninkovich as an end and try and get more speed on the field to rush the passer. But I think Seattle's front 7 is more athletic.
Yep.
I think you got to give them the nod with they've got 2 really fine pass rushers in Cliff Avril and Michael Bennett.
Yeah.
Bennett's got that flexibility to go inside and outside. And New England doesn't have anybody like that.
No.
And I think the linebackers as a core at Seattle, they run so doggone well, Neil. We talked about Bobby Wagner. I mean, he's a sideline to sideline player.
New England have one of those guys in Jamie Collins, who's very versatile. Can be was a quarterback in high school. Has played safety. Can run all over the field. But Seattle got 3 of those guys at linebacker. You've got Bruce Irvin. You've got Bobby Wagner, and you've got KJ Wright. So that's 3 against 1 there. If you're going to add up and try and
I just think that the sum of players. You know, when you look at the sum of players, I think that nod's got to go to Seattle in the front 7.
All right, we're going to give Seattle the nod there. Let's move on to secondaries. Probably the 2 best in the league, right?
Certainly, you know, one of the most publicized in the league, in the Legion of Boom, and certainly they deserve all the accolades that they've got. You know, all 4 of those guys are outstanding players, and, you know, each of them is a Pro Bowler in his own right. You know, Greg Lane gives you a good, slot corner, a good nickel corner. Then you look at New England and you say, gosh, Devin McCourty's a pretty doggone football player, good football player. And
better safety than he ever was a cornerback.
Absolutely, but has the ability to be a cover safety,
which he's got that
gives you some flexibility, And then you look at those 2 corners and, Browner, is going to play extremely well against his old teammates. And Revis is, playing at as high a level as he's played at since he was with the Jets. So I just think that that one safety position is the thing that separates the 2 groups and a little more depth in Seattle.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give Seattle the nod.
I mean, that's one of the things that we can sort of start to talk about, the things that we're looking forward to seeing. I love watching those 2 safeties of Seattle. I think that, when we start to look ahead to the game that we're going to see tomorrow in that stadium, they trust Earl Thomas, don't they, to just be like a center fielder and to cover the entire field.
Yeah, when I talked to Dan Quinn this week, and I had a really good conversation with him one day, and we were talking about profiles, about the what you look for in a player, and obviously everybody knows that they like long corners. They like 6'1" and above guys like Maxwell, like Sherman, but I asked him about safety. What do you look for in safety? He said, one safety has to be a box player. Big, strong, physical guy who we can bring down against the run, and kind of an enforcer type guy in the middle of the field. And they want their other safety to be a sideline to sideline, player. And I think those 2 guys fit those profiles extremely well.
Is that why I got this quote here from George? Who said it? Said Dan Quinn said, "We're quick to play whatever style comes." He said, "If teams want to come in and be small, we can do that because we got the nickel. We can go to nickel." But he said we got big guys too. So this is really, they've put together, haven't they, like the perfect defense.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting to see. To me, I'm not projecting what I think the Patriots will do, but I think one of the things we're going to see from the Patriots is a lot of Devlin, a lot of Hohomanuanui, a lot of Gronkowski all over the place. Multiple tight end sets.
Yeah.
And featuring those guys in the short passing game and using them as rubs and picks for Edelman if they're going to play man-to-man, because, Ho'omanuanui is a pretty doggone good receiver.
Yeah.
And now you say, okay, well, if you're going to take Gronk away, how are you going to do that, first of all? All right, Cam goes down on him. Cam may not be as good a cover player as some of their linebackers. Mm. So Now, if you get Ho'omanu Nui in the game, now where are you going to go? And
yeah.
And that's going to be what I think is going to be really interesting, with the formation variations and the motions that New England will use.
I hope he doesn't have a good game. I can't say his name. You're the only one on our crew that can say his name. If he has a big game, Jeff, you're going to be busy.
You know, it was amazing. I was talking to him the other day, I didn't know the kid, right? And I walked up to him I said, malo, malo, which is Samoan for hello, right? And he looked up at me and he saw my tattoos and he kind of like, so we started to talk, and he's actually Hawaiian. He's not, his family's all native Hawaiian. They're not Samoan, but his family lives two streets over from where I lived when I was coaching at the University of Hawaii in this little town called Waimanalo. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Small world, Jeff. Let's move up. So we're giving the edge to Seattle on this because of the
more depth in that secondary.
It's going to be tough for these two quarterbacks. So, I mean, there's going to need to be some, like you say, rubs and picks, movement, play action, trickery to get those guys going the other way.
I think it's going to be really fascinating to watch because Seattle's not a big motion team. They'll use some formations on you, but it's play action, getting to the perimeter, the nakeds, the boots, the zone reads, all that stuff. And then on the other hand, New England is a huge motion team. They're motioning and shifting all over the place. And we're going to talk in our pregame buildup. We're going to actually show you why they do that and how, you know, what that gets them. And I think one of the things that Seattle prides itself on is being simple. And all of that stuff doesn't affect them because, they play one base defense. They're not checking in and out of coverages, and that their players all are looking at the quarterback when the ball snaps so they can get to the football extremely fast. So it'll be interesting to see how they work against one another.
All right, let's move on to special teams then. And when people think special teams, they think field goal kickers, but it's way more than that. It's field position and not giving up big returns. And you look at these two teams, and they're just solid, aren't they, in terms of all of those other aspects? I mean, forget about the kickers for a moment.
Yeah.
All other aspects, they're pretty solid.
I think when, you know, somebody asked me about special teams yesterday, and here's what I see from a personnel standpoint. Mm. I think New England is a little bit better, but Seattle is, you know, they've got that X factor, and that's that Pete is not afraid to test you, with fakes and those types of things. So
he's not afraid to put his big name players on there either.
No, and that is interesting because, like, their hold up guys on punt return are, you know, Sherman and Maxwell.
Yeah,
they're starters. They're frontline players play, but when you look at the return game, Edelman, I think, can give you some stuff in the return game.
Yeah,
you know, I think that they have a chance to create field position, which they're going to need. Now, the cover teams for New England, I think, are more athletic than Seattle is. And again, I'm not – Seattle's return game is very pedestrian. It's very average. So the field position thing is going to be huge in this game. And so, again, I'm going to give New England a little bit of a nod here.
Yeah, there's no Percy Harvin there like there was in last year's Super Bowl. They experimented – early in the season with Earl Thomas at punt returner, and that lasted about three bobbled punt returns.
Yeah, and I'm sure that, you know, as tough as he is, and as you just don't want to put that shoulder into that position.
Well, we'll have to watch that to see if Sherman's out there, because, you know, you want to limit those number of plays that he's out there for those kind of things.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting, too. You know, we talked about this in the Green Bay game. You know, if I'm sure early in the game they're going to try and get Sherman into a position where he has to tackle Blunt.
Run LeGarrette Blunt.
See how healthy that shoulder
Brandon
is.
Brandon Brown ruffled a few feathers this week when he said, you know, we should make Earl Thomas tackle. And I sat down and interviewed Earl Thomas, and we were run this into the pregame on Sunday night, and he said, well, I'm going to have to make those tackles. You know, I expect them to test me. I would want to test me, you know. And that's what he's got to do. You know, he's got to step up and make those. Time to make our picks, Jeff. This is a tough
You know, I have waffled on this all week long.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, please.
All right, so I did this the morning after the championship games. Gridiron Magazine called me up. I know they called you in the early hours as well. And we had to make our picks. And I made a pick which I wasn't comfortable making at that time. But I've kind of stuck with it through the last 2 weeks. And I'm saying that Seattle win this game 27-21. I just think that maybe Russell Wilson comes up with a couple more X-Factor type plays where he, you know, he does something up. He's like a little magician at times where he makes people miss and he can run the football as well. I do think the best player on this field is going to be Marshawn Lynch, but he's going to have to run for like 900 yards for the media to vote him MVP. He hasn't got... Do you know what? You or I have got more chance of being MVP of this Super Bowl than Marshawn Lynch. So I say that Seattle win 27-21 and Russell Wilson doesn't have the same game as Marshawn Lynch, but he's named MVP.
You know, I can't... When the magazine called me for my pick, it was 5:30 in the morning after
you can't
watching.
Remember who you
picked. I don't even remember who I picked, to be frank.
You can go either way,
so
man.
I'm going to just say, I hope I, you know, if I flip, then I flip, because I really didn't want to even make a pick until I got down here, because I wanted to get a feel for the teams while we're down here, and you know, there's so
still
much
not
stuff.
Easy even now.
It is not, and you know, we may be shocked, and this will be a blowout game, but I that would shock me. I think this is going to be a 24-21 game that's decided on a late field goal, and you know, I just think that, you know, had Seattle not beaten Green Bay last week, or they didn't have, I shouldn't say that, that they didn't have a win like that in their arsenal, in their repertoire, then I would say New England. But they showed me something last week in that Green Bay game, you know, to be down like they were and just find a way to win. Teams that have that ability. I gotta say Seattle. I mean, I gotta say Seattle. 24-21.
That was like a Belichick press conference. That was painful. MVP?
I think the MVP of the game will be the guy that plays the best in the game.
Do you know what I would love? We both just picked Seattle to win this game, but how good would this be if it ended up with Tom Brady going against that defense, down by five or something? I mean, it could be that kind of game. It feels like it's going to be a game that goes right down to the
wire. I really think...
Make a case for either team.
I think when you say who's going to be the MVP... I think it'll be the quarterback of the winning team. I pick Seattle, so I got to say I think it'll probably be Russell Wilson. Although, I'll be honest with you, I think Russell Wilson's going to have a day where he throws for 100.
Both quarterbacks could have that.
Yeah, 150 yards and rushes for 60. But I think he's going to make some, you know, pull a rabbit out of your hat kind of plays, and in this game, 24 points, you know, should be enough to win in this game, I think.
All right, Jeff, we'll wrap up on Inside Odds. It's been a good week, hasn't it?
It's been phenomenal.
Apart from the weather.
You know, being on Radio Row is just is so amazing. And we've got to do everything we can. Are you listening, Nick Pike?
Well, we haven't said it on this podcast. We said it on every other one. But we're having Radio Row next year.
We've got to, because I just to have the visual to bring to the fans of what that is like.
Well, a few people were saying on Twitter, you know, to be able to see what we're seeing as we're doing it would be tremendous for them to enjoy it as well.
You know what? I want to say something too. I had breakfast this morning with Matt Burke, and Matt is he's in charge of football development in the National Football League, and UK fans and coaches and players should, you know, look, you know, in the future, very, very short future, for a real push from the NFL to help football grow in the UK. That's all part of the NFL's emphasis on the United Kingdom. And I, you know, like Matt came up with some ideas this morning, things that he's working on, and, you know, I'm sure that'll come from the NFL office when it's time. But I just think there's some really, really neat initiatives that they're doing about how to help the coaches and help the players and help the fans in the UK.
Sounds fantastic. Jeff, I like breakfast as well. My phone must have been on silent, or I must have been in the shower. I must have missed that call.
No, let's you were just, probably out. What were you doing?
It was a football conversation.
No. Wait a second. Let me ask you, where are you going tonight?
I'm going to the red carpet.
No. Don't go Belichick on me. Where are you going tonight?
I'm going to the NFL honors.
Yeah, and where will you be?
What's on the red carpet?
On the red carpet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chasing Aaron Rodgers and Andrew Luck down it, probably.
And I'll be at Red Robin having a hamburger and a Coke.
You'll one be, all then.
Yeah.
It's one all.
Jeff, great stuff, and we'll do another podcast tomorrow straight after the game.
All right, man, look forward to it.
All right, this has been Inside the Huddle in association with SkySports.com and NFL UK. We are sponsored by Sport Lobster, the sports social network. We're a USP content production. Enjoy Super Bowl 49, and we'll speak to you straight after the game. Say goodbye, Jeff.
Aloha.